Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
If only Enron had succeeded at creating weather futures, the free market of Texas could have been prepared for a completely predictable and preventable disaster. The arch nemesis of a deregulated energy market, Old Man Winter, who's obviously a communist, struck again in the form of a winter storm during the President's Day holiday that knocked out power in much of Texas. So what happened in Texas?
Texas had a ice storm that came through, and it was originally blamed on the fact that there was wind turbines, for some reason, and they stopped spinning, I guess, or froze, and then that killed the power grid. But in reality, what it was they had an outdated, overloaded system that had no additional capacity to handle the heat loads that happened once there was a small hiccup within heating requirements in the company in that country.
And you're referring to Texas as a country because it's a whole other country.
It's a whole piece of shit country, yeah. what happens in energy production is that, you know, you have these giant turbines that are spinning. There's no load, so they'll spin under no load, and they keep them going. All of a sudden, load picks up, and they, you know, increase electromagnetic forces on them and try to draw more power up. Well, in Texas, if you don't have built-in extra capacity to handle that, what you ended up doing is overloading circuits. And because it wasn't ready for that extra capacity requirement, and because there was no master kill switch to kill industrial customers, and because they had a bunch of aging systems, it all failed catastrophically. So large areas of Texas were without power, still without power, and it's been like a week.
So one of the main reasons for this is that natural gas plants are the main source of power in Texas. And because it got so cold, they effectively turned off the natural gas plants so that they would not catastrophically fail. It gets cold, you run into freezing issues where natural gas won't flow. So they proactively shut down plants. That leads to a decrease in the available power being produced. Coupling that with wind turbines going offline, and wind turbines clearly can run in winter because they run in winter in every other state. But if you're Texas and you don't winterize fucking anything, you're going to have problems when you get hit with a winter storm. So the underlying problem in all of this is that Texas didn't winterize their power grid in any way, shape, or form. Winter came, they were totally fucked.
You're pulling so much energy that you have a low amperage problem, so you have a low power problem, so now everybody's getting brownouts.
So there's a couple ways that this manifests. So as water flows through a pipe under pressure, so too does electricity flow through a wire. And you have pressure and you have volume of the pipe. And the diameter of the pipe tells me how much water is in the pipe. That's amperage. That's current. Now, the pressure within the pipe is voltage. In order to deliver a lot of water, you want both high current and high voltage. And that's largely how power systems work. So in order to deliver electricity, you want high current and high voltage. And these are your overhead distribution lines. They're on the large steel skeleton-based scaffolding that are 40 feet or so in the air that you can look down the horizon. They just go and go and go. Those are distribution lines.
Yep.
That's effectively what we're talking about when we say that you couldn't get power. Those lines were not energized because there was not electricity pushing water at pressure through the electrical lines.
Yep.
So this manifests by having the large major cities. One of the iconic photos was you had a skyline view of Houston, and you had the city center lit up, so you have the big skyscrapers had power. But the entire surrounding, basically residential area of the entire millions of people city was completely black. So there was not enough power distributed to cities. One of the reasons for this was that they preemptively shut down some of the natural gas generation. And they had to do this for a couple reasons. One is they wanted to save and preserve the power plant, so they didn't want it to catastrophically fail. And the other reason is that in electrical systems, we use AC power. And what AC power means is alternating current. And what alternating current means is that you have effectively a sine wave where you have voltage go positive and then you have voltage go negative. And it's more mathematically complicated than that. And it actually deals with imaginary numbers. So all those imaginary numbers that you dealt with in school actually have a real life engineering purpose. The little I, but in electrical engineering, it's a J because I is current, so you don't want those to conflict. In Texas, what happened was the distribution of power caused the alternating current frequency to fluctuate. And that fluctuation can lead to giant structural failure. various high-performance electrical equipment that's used in the power grid is designed to operate within very specific tolerances of this frequency, and when that frequency deviates by too much, you literally get electrical equipment exploding. Perhaps the best way to illustrate this is if you think of an induction motor. And an induction motor, think of a drill, you squeeze the button and the drill bit spins. All an induction motor is a spool of copper wire wound in a very specific orientation that creates a magnetic field. And then around it, you have effectively a drum of magnets, and the magnets are oriented specifically. You press the trigger. The trigger creates a magnetic field, and it effectively alternates in a very directed fashion so that the drum spins as the magnet goes on, off, and magnets repel. So it spins. That's an induction motor. So when you think about alternating current failing, it's that drum spinning in an odd fashion where it spins a little bit and then maybe it stops because the magnetic field is weird. So you get like this really herky-jerky action, literally leads to explosions.
Yep.
So that was another concern that was present in Texas.
You know, and all this comes down to deregulation. When you are regulated, there are lots of questions that get asked by people who have been doing this for years. And we don't want to say that there are experts in any one field that should control everything, but there are experts in any one field that should control everything. It's called central planning. You should literally have to rely on centrally planned knowledge. It not one person, and not even saying committee-based, but there are individuals out there and groups of individuals who know what it takes. Like, should you plan for the worst-case scenario? Yes, you should plan for 100-year weather. And what that means is there a storm that's going to come once every 100 years that could knock out your entire power grid? Yes. Okay, let's model that, or at least get worst-case scenario, and let's multiply that by 20%, and let's prepare for that. Or at least let's have a contingency plan in place. Maybe we can't prepare for it because under neoliberalism, under capitalism, we don't want to pay for it. But at least have a plan in place that when we turn off these gas, electrical grids, we have a contingency in place to shut down the major industries that don't need power. Between a skyscraper or, a house full of people, I'm going to choose a house full of people for power and gas. And one of the parts, about all this is if you don't insulate anything, your natural gas, because it's an ideal gas, loses pressure, and it's hard to pump, and the effective energy you can get out of it is much different at the lower pressures and lower temperatures. And that's why it's so hard to burn. And in fact, it has other issues too. Texas actually knocked out the power grid in Mexico because of the gas distribution issues, because gas was being pulled in for spot pricing or spot production all the way up into Texas.
Is that why Ted Cruz went to Mexico?
Ted Cruz went to Mexico because he needed to check on the wall with his family. He's going to try to negotiate them to, I think, pay for it.
Mexico was going to pay for it, I think.
Yeah.
And then as part of that deal, he was going to help Mexico get their power systems back up to help Texas, right?
Absolutely. So this brings up a big point about deregulation. Fucking, it's so stupid. Anytime, we told you this before, you hear the dog whistle, deregulation, you should immediately say fuck you to the person saying it to you. Deregulation leads to this, the Wild Wild West energy production. There's one company who regulates all the energy within Texas, but not regulated through the government, regulated through capitalism, through private enterprise, through market, right? And so you may have paid a lower rate on average than everybody else, but guess what you're paying now? You're paying spot prices. And on-demand pricing is going to bankrupt half of Texas.
On-demand pricing is this idea that I am going to use natural gas, and natural gas is denominated in BTUs, British thermal units. A British thermal unit on the futures market generally costs about $3. Your average natural gas usage in a month, let's say in Texas, is probably in the realm of about $100. You're heating nominally from like 50 degrees to let's say 70. You're not using a whole hell of a lot of power to do that. Homes in Texas aren't greatly insulated, but natural gas is cheap because you don't have transportation costs. So let's just say that natural gas costs about $100 a month on average. You pay it. It's what the market rate is. You're entered into a contract with your electrical company or your power company or your natural gas company or your utility, whatever the entity is that you're buying natural gas from. And you say, I don't really give a shit what the spot price of natural gas is, because it's always about $3, and heaven forbid I overpay by locking into some fixed rate contract.
Yep.
Well, it gets cold, power plants go offline, and natural gas becomes scarce. So the natural gas company looks through the list and goes, well, I got these 100 people, and they have spot price contracts, so they want natural gas, so I'm legally obligated to give them natural gas. And, well, the spot price is $30 a BTU because that's just what it is. We have very scarce supplies. It's hard to deliver. So eat shit, pay for your $30 per BTU natural gas price. Oh, and it's cold, so you're going to have to use more. So your $100 energy bill went to $10,000 for the month. And you're fucked because you have no expectation that you were going to spend $10,000 on natural gas. And the power company, this is the real genius of all of it. The power company in no way, shape, or form proactively prepares for this situation. They don't take on expanded capacity or have contingency plans or anything, because they know if shit hits the fan, the prices just increase and they make the same amount of money anyway. They literally have no incentive to give a shit about the lack of natural gas being provided to people and people freezing, because they're going to make the same amount of money anyway.
Yep, because they don't care, right? I mean, they don't care. Because they're the ones that fought for the deregulations, they're the ones that fought to get the big payouts, they're the ones that fought for it all. And they sold it to everybody in Texas like it was such a great idea, because there was nobody there to fight the other way, because Texas basically hands over everything to the conservative mantra of libertarianism, right? I'm a rancher, right? They had like this misconception that everybody in Texas is some fucking, I don't know, cowboy, when really it's just a bunch of small amounts of people in the rural areas. There's lots of rural areas in Texas. But the bulk majority live in cities, and they rely on things like distributed power. And because they're deregulated, they didn't want anything on the other energy grids. So they can't even borrow energy, which is so bonky. There's not even a backup plan. Like, it's just so crazy to me how, like, they were able to get that far off. Joe Biden won't do it, but he should just seize the power plants. If I was in power, I'm seizing all of the Texas electrical grid. For federal,
you're going to nationalize the Texas energy grid.
Yeah, right away.
Any company that has a power plant no longer has a power plant.
Yeah, what power plant? Oh, you have to come to me, to Congress, and talk to some people here. the FBI just seized all of your equipment so we can check for emails. Because there has to be an email about this somewhere. Somebody had to raise a red flag about this somewhere.
Oh, there is absolutely no way that this tail risk was unknown. This was definitively known that this could happen, and people just didn't care.
I bet someone hedged it, too.
Oh, I'm sure somebody made money on natural gas spot prices in some way, shape, or form.
They had to have.
The Henry Hub in Louisiana was...
printing money.
sitting on reserve inventory or something. There's no way that there wasn't a market-based, I guess, black swan that told.
Moving on from, you know, just the insanity of all this, this is... cuckoo bananas. I mean, quite honestly, all this is a solved problem. It comes down to priorities and saying shit like, you know, it'll cost more money, when really, in the end of the day, this is going to cost everybody a ton of money. Hey, guess who's not going to get insurance on their house anymore?
Somebody in Texas?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, like, the amount of claims that are not going to get fulfilled now because they didn't have flood damage?
Yeah. Like, the insurance game on this is going to be wild.
Yeah, we're going to see all types of crazy shit happening.
Like, oh, well, see, yeah, your pipes exploded, but you're not covered for flood damage. And you're like, what? Well, yeah, we're seeing water damage here. How did that get here? Well, my pipes exploded because my fucking furnace died.
Yep. Well, that sounds like a furnace issue.
Yeah, and see, you're not covered here.
Yeah. Oops, sorry, guys.
There's all sorts of corporate liability, too, associated with stuff like rental houses. There was an example of a giant apartment complex basically burning because the fire department didn't have any water. What is the liability there? Does the fire department have sovereign immunity because they didn't have water? Does that liability then not transfer to the company that didn't provide them water? Does the city have culpability because they didn't have a working fire hydrant? Does the apartment complex have liability because they didn't have a capable sprinkler system that had water in it? Like, where the fuck does legal liability fall in that scenario? If you're a firefighter, you just sit there and say, yep, that's a fire. You try and get everybody out of the building, save as much life as possible. But as a public law enforcement officer, a public safety person, your number one priority is, you know, saving life, and then it's protecting private property, right?
Obviously. I mean, let's say that you're a shithole senator from Texas. How do you handle this situation?
Let's say your name is Ted Cruz.
This is how fucked up it is. Here we go. Ted Cruz flies on a plane to Cancun.
During COVID.
And during one of the worst natural disasters, barring a hurricane, to ever hit an area.
Let's put this in the context of energy-related disasters. How many people were killed in Chernobyl?
50, UN estimates.
50. How many people have died because of power outages in Texas?
What, 70 plus have been killed since Texas? Chernobyl was, UN estimates, 50. Russia will say 30. It doesn't matter. It was less people died of a nuclear explosion than was killed during ice storms in Texas because of deregulation. But the important part here is that Ted Cruz's family, whose daughter was seen during the campaign turning her face in disgust when old weasel-faced daddy tried to kiss her, fleeing Texas to Cancun, and whose wife is, according to, really pissed off that somebody leaked her text messages asking family members to go to Cancun with them.
Are you telling me that Ted Cruz's family snitched on him?
He's such a bitch, no one in his family even likes him. Like, that's what's crazy. Like, the craziest part is that people just straight up fucking hate the man. Like, hate him. And they probably are like, eh, fuck this. He's going to Christmas, I'm not going, fuck him. Or like, I'm not going to Cancun. Why? Because is Ted going? Yeah, well, I'm not going.
Yeah, fuck it, I'm out.
I'm out, I'm outie. Like, I would, if Ted was back doing stuff, like, I don't know, not fleeing a natural disaster, being the senator of the state that's hard hit, trying to coordinate national responses and getting things like, I don't know, a bill passing, a national emergency, and getting emergency funding to the state. So straight up, I just searched, when is Ted Cruz up for re-election in the Senate? And it's a Newsweek article. He's up for re-election in 2024. You know what that means?
Beto's going to lose in 3.5 years.
Yeah, no one's going to remember this. Something's going to happen. Some key votes going to happen with Biden. He's going to champion something fucking stupid, and he's going to be the hero of Texas.
Oh, I think that's probable. So Ted Cruz goes to Cancun, and there was media coverage on this for like 2 days straight. It was the most intense media coverage of anything I've ever seen recently, other than Tiger Woods like driving himself into a fucking ditch and breaking his foot.
But even that wasn't that bad.
Yeah, like, so this goes back to our theory from the insurrection that Capitol is going to go out of their way to crucify Ted Cruz. And I think this is a piece of it. He went to Cancun. He's a terrible person. It's like, yeah, we already knew that. There's nothing fundamentally displayed by him going to Cancun that is any different from the horrible shit he's already previously done.
Yeah, and in fact, if I was Ted Cruz, I would have just admitted it. There's nothing...
Like, right away, like,
there's nothing I could do in Texas without putting my family's life in jeopardy. I mean, he could have flew his family to Cancun by himself and just, like, flew back to Washington, and guess what? He's safe and warm, and so is his family.
Or you're doing a diplomatic mission to Mexico. Or like, he didn't commit to the lie, and that's uncharacteristically bad for him.
I'm at a loss here, because fuck Ted Cruz, fuck the Republican Party, and fuck Capitol. And it's one of those, is it Schadenfreude moments, where, like, I'm happy for his pain, but at the same time, I don't want to be, because, like, I know that Capitol is just playing the we hate Ted Cruz 2 card, and now it's, like, the enemy of my enemy situation. What really needs to happen is fundamental shifts in the demographics in Texas that are voting in order to get shitty neoliberals like
Beto elected.
At least he's somewhat better than Ted. I don't really say that much about shitlibs and conservatives because they pretty much play the same court, the same party. But Ted Cruz is a different type of piece of shit. It's like those Paul fan.
Rand Paul.
Oh, fuck those assholes too. And that Gohmert guy.
I'm Louis Gohmert.
I'm a caricature. Even though I'm a real person, I am just being a caricature.
I play a character. I'm a congressman.
I'm a congressman.
I think it's more likely that Ted Cruz somehow loses in a primary than being replaced by Beto, for example. I think the solution for the Republicans is to just choose a different ghoul who has less shitty history. Because I don't think anybody in Texas is particularly committed to Ted Cruz's anything. They just want oil and deregulation and all the corporate handouts and dumb shit that Ted Cruz advocates for.
Yep.
Just pick a different ghoul that doesn't do the stupid shit openly and out in public.
He's absolutely done at the national level. Like, he can't run for president again. He got dunked on too bad. He's not going to be a Supreme Court justice because even though he's a lawyer, no one gives a shit about him. He's not going to be a consultant anywhere because he has no clout anywhere. He has nothing left for him in Texas because he's just fucking abandoned it. I don't know what it is. He's playing for something.
I tend to agree in that he has some ambition for something because he has sold so many fucking people down the river.
Yep.
But he hasn't. He's like Elizabeth Warren. He hasn't gotten anything out of any of this.
Nope.
Like, from the Republican point of view, he's triangulated himself into this corner where literally everybody hates him.
But he's the creative part is he's the most conservative-like person. Like, he embodies 100% conservative, right? He doesn't believe in regulations. He wants tort reform. He doesn't believe in government handouts. He doesn't believe in taxes. He doesn't believe in really anything at all that has to do with government regulations. In fact, he left during a time of a crisis because he could financially leave, right? He literally had the money to leave the country, and he did. And he doesn't give a shit. And he embodies the individualism.
Is Ted Cruz a neoliberal?
Oh, good question. I'm going to say he's beyond neoliberal. I'm going to say he's just full-blown fascist.
Yeah, that's where I tend to come down to. I think he's one of the few people in public government that is not neoliberal. And I think he's further to the right. He falls in the corporatist, pseudo-fascist, just fucking psychopath category.
I don't even know what he is, because he's not really a human being. He's just like this shell of something that used to be. And he's either playing a character made for TV, or he's lost his fucking mind somewhere, because he exists in a reality that isn't really a reality.
The is he a character thing, I think, is actually fairly interesting. Because he's an act. He's raising money. He's getting donors. He's posturing for something. Like, is he just so committed to his character that he can't uncommit?
Well, he's like the Newt Gingrich right now, right? He's to that point where Rush Limbaugh, where he's just a caricature of a thing because that's the only thing he's got. What else does he have? He's got nothing else. He pivoted too hard. He went too fucking hard in the paint. He got blocked, and now he's got to fucking walk it off.
And Capitol's just fucking sitting in the audience making fun of him.
Just fucking booing him. He's getting ready to get benched. Like, he has nothing left. I mean, even Abbott, the piece of shit governor, has probably higher approval ratings than he does.
The guy literally probably most responsible for everything.
Literally responsible for everything that's happening here in Texas.
Has higher approval ratings than Ted Cruz, who, as a federal senator, has very little to do with state operations.
Like, he can argue, like, I could do nothing but go to the Capitol and they closed it. There's nothing I can do.
Right, we were on recess because the impeachment was hard because the Dems didn't want to call witness.
Yeah, because they fucking suck and I won, right?
I was taking a victory lap in Cancun with my family. We were going to watch the Mars rover because that shit's cool, but it doesn't really heat anybody's house.
Yeah, I mean, if it were to crash land in Texas, at least it'd get some heat. Let's go down the neoliberal or the bullshit idea. Like, if neoliberalism is here to save you, where is it? Like honestly, if you're a moderate piece of shit lib and you think that privatizing jobs that should be centrally planned or services, where is it? Where's your savior at? The answer is there isn't one, because fuck neoliberalism. Seize it, make it national, fuck Texas over, perfect example of what needs to be done every day. Oh, you failed? You're seized. Sorry.
We had the 2008 financial crisis. Too big to fail. Thanks, Barack. You bailed out the banks. We love you for that, right? Too big to fail. This is Texas energy sector is too big to fail, and it fucking failed. So what do you do? What is going to happen as a result of Texas catastrophically failing on the energy sector?
If I'm Texas and there's no federal oversight, I do nothing.
Literally nothing. Nothing will change if Texas gets their way.
Yep, nothing changes.
Because this isn't a problem. Their bottom line wasn't affected. Corporations aren't going to become insolvent. There's the only real risk is in disaster recovery, but I think Biden's just going to conjure money out of thin air and give it to Texas, and it's fine. There's no incentive to change anything.
Yeah, the only people that have incentives now would be the insurance companies somehow actually decide that they're going to use their combined capital to force the government to create some sort of market or something for energy. I don't know what it looks like, but what's it going to be? I mean, that's what the neoliberals want. They want the market forces to come in and say, well, you screwed us on this investment. Never again. Shame on you. We're gonna charge every homeowner 50% more unless you regulate the markets. That's what they're going to try to say and do. That's the wet dream of neoliberalism.
Instead of paying property mortgage insurance, you're going to pay energy accessibility insurance. Or some yep. Shit. Oh, we're going to reinsure the fucking energy companies, so if there's a catastrophic failure, it's fine. Like, that is a literal neoliberal solution that could totally result from this.
And this is because
my fear. Because it means nobody takes a bath.
Yep.
But what should happen is the United States of America, as a governmental entity, should seize every power plant, federalize energy infrastructure, remove any corporate profit motive, and declare that energy access for individuals, such as electricity and natural gas, maybe not natural gas, but heating resources, will be provided to you at some fixed rate fee by a utility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how every other fucking state does it.
And this is where centrally planned, you know, regulated markets come into play. Now, it is a neoliberal idea. It's still democratically controlled fascism because we're still allowing for-profit industry to take over the jobs, but at least it's regulated. And as a leftist, it's fucked up that this even exists. But we have to say that there's something worse than a regulated, you know, market for electricity or energy, and that's Texas. Like, we already hate the electrical companies and the gas companies because of the way that they are regulated, but they can fuck you over because the rates are basically set in state law, essentially, right? But that state law protects you from some of this insanity because it's sort of the in-between. So there is something worse than what we currently have, and that is fucking Texas.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.